there to come alive with. And I think we do. For instance, stuff with, I don't know, Pete Gregg. You may have come across Pete Gregg in 24/7 prayer, and he's very much one for taking scriptures and just reading them and imagining them and what it must be like at the time they're written. And John's just taken us there, so thank you for that, John. Bless you. And thank you so much for all your support again for the work of Mission Aviation Fellowship, or MAF, or MAF, or whatever you want to call us. Nice things, please. In case you're not sure, we fly small aircraft in developing countries, taking help, hope, and healing in Christ's name in 27 countries and 120 odd aircraft. And your support and your prayers is so valuable to us. So thank you for that. Darren indicated earlier that about the support that you've given us, particularly in the past, also for the Bibles that we take out in Papua New Guinea. And in fact, only a few weeks ago, I was speaking to Ryan, one of our pilots over in Papua New Guinea, who actually flew up one of the aircraft up to one of the western areas, highlands of Papua New Guinea. And when he got there, all the Bible box that he had, the toolbox, if you like, of Bibles were gone. Just like that, as soon as he opened it up, people took them. And a pastor had actually traveled 3 days overland to meet him to get some Bibles. And he managed to take a few. But actually, what his real need was in his community was for audio Bibles, those audio Bibles Darren mentioned that you have supported, in Tokpishan language. And he ideally was after 50, 60 of these audio Bibles for his community. So we're able, with your help and the help of others who support us like you, we were able to purchase those audio Bibles. And Ryan's next flight up there to that area is to take all of these Bibles specifically for this man who's going to walk another 3 days to meet Ryan to pick up these Bibles, or little audio Bibles, so not big, thick ones, little audio Bibles, solar powered, so that he can take them back to his community. So thank you so much for all your continued support. It is, and prayers, it is so, so important to us. I want to, if I may, share a few thoughts on this this reading. I love this portion of scripture so much, but I love this portion of scripture. And actually, I really encourage you to go away and again look at it and read in little chunks, because there is so much wrapped up in this portion of scripture. But I just wonder, if I may, highlight three areas that I think perhaps God has got for us today. If not, he's got it just for me, in which case I'm sorry, but he's going to do me any some good. And the first thing is this, that is the point where they've been out fishing, as you've just heard, and they come back to shore. They haven't caught anything, and there on the shore is Jesus. And he calls out to them and says to them about, you know, ask them that question, have you caught anything? And they said no, and then he tells them to throw the net over the side again. Actually, if they thought about it, that was, of course, what happened way back at the beginning of Jesus' ministry with them. But they didn't think about it at that point in that time. And it wasn't until they'd thrown the net over and, in a sense, they called all the fish. So one of them says, it's Jesus. And sometimes it's hard, I think, for us to recognize Jesus in the midst of the challenges that we are going through. He's standing there on the shore. These guys had called, he called out to these guys. And bear in mind, these guys were still going through all sorts of emotions. They'd already seen Jesus. They knew he was alive again. They'd already seen him. This is not the first time they'd seen him, but Their emotions were still all over the place. They'd been out all night. They were tired. They were probably cold. We know they were hungry. We'll come on to that in a minute. And so in the midst of that, they didn't recognize Jesus. And sometimes it's hard for us to recognize Jesus in the midst of our challenges. In April of this year, conflict started again in Sudan. And since then, over 4 million people have been displaced from their home in Sudan. Many families, complete families, have been separated in their need to get away from the conflict and the fighting. Many of them have been displaced into other countries, nearby countries. One of them is South Sudan, a country, one of the poorest countries that openly welcome in refugees in to their borders. And in Renk, one town, a small town about 20 kilometers into South Sudan over the border, there is a displacement camp. A displacement camp that was built by the UN Society of Refugees, UNHCR, and a displacement camp that was set up to handle 4,000 refugees before they could move them on into Juba and other parts. That displacement camp now has in excess of 16,000 people in it. There was 1,000 people a day coming over the border from Sudan into this part of South Sudan, into this displacement camp. Living conditions are dire. There's not enough food. There's not enough clean water, shelter, medical care for the growing number of people that are crossing that border into that camp. There are various diseases, measles, is prevalent, and because people are coming into the camp with measles and spreading it around the camp. And MAFA, one of the organizations that are reaching out to those people in that camp, working with Médecins Sans Frontières, working with Oxfam and Tear Fund and World Vision and other organizations. MAFA are flying regular shuttle flights from Juba, about a two-hour flight, into the camp at Renk to offer what help we can. One of the things we are doing is flying little nutrition bars I've spoken about before here. They were called plumpy nuts, a peanut bar. Called plumpy nuts now apparently is something like nutritional value bar, we have to say, or something like that. Plumpy nuts still to us. But a little nutrition bar that actually is enough to keep a child alive. One bar a day is enough to keep a child alive. And we are flying refugees out of the camp back to Juba on a regular basis. Those most vulnerable, those that are desperate to receive the medical help and medical care. But still, in the midst of that camp, when we go in and fly in, and Tear Fund said this, we love flying with MAF. We really appreciate MAF. It's been an honor to fly with MAF to Renk. Your contribution to this response cannot be underestimated. You are doing so much. We are so blessed to be associated with MAF. Another one said, the camps are just horrible for people. So I'm glad that we are able to take these people out of the camps along with MAF and fly them to safety in Juba. In the midst of those challenges, it's hard to see Jesus. In the middle of that camp with so much suffering, it's hard to see Jesus. And yet, when we look, we see Jesus at work. Because you see, Jesus is always in the midst of our challenges. Jesus isn't someone who's on the edge. He's right in the middle. He parachutes down in the middle of the challenges and in the middle of the camps. One lady we flew out only 2 weeks ago. A mother and two young babies. We flew them from the camp into Juba, the capital. And she said this, she said, without MAF, I don't know where we would be now. I don't know how my babies would survive. Jesus has answered my prayer. Sometimes it's hard to see Jesus in the middle of our challenges. But the next thing I want to go on to is this, is that when they come ashore, Jesus is there. And I love this bit. I love this bit because what does he do when they come ashore? What does Jesus do? He doesn't call them over and say, we're going to have a time of ministry now. He doesn't say, we're going to have a prayer time, sit there. He doesn't say, I'm going to teach you from the scriptures. What does he do? He cooks breakfast. Jesus cooks breakfast. Why does he cook breakfast? Because they're hungry. They've been out all night. He knows they've been out all night. They hadn't caught anything until he said, throw the net over. So he knows what their need is. And their need at that time is not a prayer meeting. It's not some scriptures. Their need is for food. You see, Jesus knows what our need is. And he cooks breakfast. Jesus is, it's an ordinary thing. Have you ever thought of, you know, the King of Kings, God incarnate, cooking breakfast? I bet it was a good breakfast, but he cooked breakfast. He's there in the ordinary. And that's where he is as MAF do the ordinary. Yes, we fly the Bibles, and we say it's such a blessing to be able to fly God's word into remote communities. And yes, we work with Scripture Union and other Bible society and other organizations in being part of evangelizing to communities. But we also do the ordinary. We fly the ordinary supplies into remote communities. We fly the teachers to teach the children. Oh, I had a fly on me then. Goodness me. You know, there's a man called Job. Job, not in the Bible. Job is 26 years of age, and Job is a teacher, newly qualified teacher. And he lives in a town called Kunga in Papua New Guinea. And Job, since he became qualified as a teacher, wanted to reach out to his community and his people. He's also a Christian, and he sought God. And he asked God, do I actually go and go to the big cities and teach children there? And he sensed God saying to him, stay. And Job is a regular passenger on an MAF plane. Because what we do with Job, we regularly fly him out to teach students in remote villages and remote communities. And he says this, this is Papua New Guinea, and this is my province, my area, and this is my district, and these are my people. So when God asked me to go to places to teach them, I must go. But he says, without the MAF bank, I couldn't get there to do what God has called me to do. MAF doing the ordinary. Jesus calling us to do the ordinary, to fly a teacher to teach children. And why? Because Jesus knows the need. And I don't know what you're going through today, but I want you to know that Jesus knows your need. And he knows if you're hungry and you need breakfast, and he will cook you breakfast. Whatever you need, Jesus will give. And finally, this point that we get to where after eating breakfast, Jesus comes to Peter and he asks him that question. He says, "Do you love me more than these?" There's a little bit of questions as to what is Jesus talking about there. Is he talking about the other disciples that are gathered around? I don't think he is, actually. I think he's talking about the fish. Because you see, Peter was a fisherman. That was his first love. That was what he turned back to. When he sat there, despite the fact that he'd seen Jesus, he knew Jesus' love, he sat there and he says, "Let's go fishing." Because that's what he knows. That's his first love all the way through. That perhaps that has always been his first love. Who knows? But Jesus knows that at that time, he says to Peter, "Do you really love me more than these?" And Peter says, "Yeah, of course I do." He has to do it three times. Again, think about that. Three times Jesus asked him to confirm his love to him. Three times Peter denied Jesus. He says, "Of course I do. Of course I do. Why do you keep asking me?" "Yes, of course. Because actually, in his heart of hearts, I wonder whether Jesus knew that actually Peter wasn't sure until the third time." And I wonder if this morning Jesus is saying to some of us here, "Do you truly love me more than this?" And what is it? It could be anything. It could be it could be our time. "Yes, I love Jesus, but yes, I love you, Jesus, and yes, I'm going to spend time with you." You know, I've been through some challenges in the last 5 weeks I won't go into, but the one thing that got me through that was abiding in Jesus, time with Jesus, encountering Jesus regularly. And maybe you're saying, yeah, I love you, Jesus, but I'm so busy. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can do what you're calling me. I don't even know if I can really spend time with you, but I'll give you 5 minutes before I drop off to sleep. Maybe that's what Jesus is saying. Do you truly love me more than that? Perhaps he's saying of finances, "Do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, I know. I know I could give in to this amazing church. I know you'll call me to give, but what about the rainy days? What about the rainy days? I need to save for the rainy days first before I give to MAF or church or anyone else." Maybe Jesus is saying, "Do you truly love me more than this?" Or maybe there's something else going on in your life, something that you were before you came to faith was a challenge for you and you just can't lay it down. You know, there's something you're involved in, something we watch that we shouldn't be watching, but I just can't. Jesus is saying, "Do you truly love me more than this?" Because once Peter actually made that decision, once Peter said yes three times, once Peter was recommissioned in a sense, he went on to be incredibly blessed. God used him in a mighty way. If you read in Acts, you'll see he became the church. He'd done amazing things once he truly laid everything down to Jesus. It's interesting, the song we sung just before, the last song was about laying things down for Jesus. And maybe that's where we're at this morning. Maybe that's where God is speaking to us. Maybe he's saying to us, number one, in the midst of the challenges, in the midst of your difficulties at the moment, whatever you're in, look for Jesus because he's there on the shore. He's right there. You just got to look for him. And number two, that he knows what your need is. So much so that he will cook you breakfast if you allow him to. in the same way as he knows what math needs as we face some challenges going forward, to be honest with you. Some real challenges with the economy and everything else. We rest in the fact that Jesus knows what our need is. At the moment, we wonder what's going to happen, but he knows what our need is, and he knows what your need is. But maybe to answer that, maybe he's actually saying to you, before that, to really abide in me, to really allow me to work in your life, you need to lay this down and trust me that I am. Can we just pray? Can we bow our heads and close our eyes? And just in these few moments, just to reflect on what God is saying to us. And it may be that as we're just sitting here and reflecting, it may be that there's something that we resonate with that in, when we see things happening in our world, when we perhaps even in our own space, in our own lives, you see the refugee camps in Sudan, sometimes it is hard to see Jesus there. Maybe that's what we're thinking at this time. We're looking around us at our situation and saying, I can't see Jesus. He wants you to know today he's right there on the shore. If you just look for him, just get in that space where you look for him, focus on him and say, make yourself known to me. He's right there. Maybe you're wondering, as we're just in this space, in this quiet time, maybe you're wondering whether he really is in the ordinary things, or whether he's preoccupied with the big things of the world. Well, you know, he cooked those guys breakfast because they were hungry. And he wants to meet your need, whatever that is. If you've looked for him and you see him, he's calling you to the shore. And he's there to meet your need, whether it's breakfast or peace. Whatever it is, you need to know that he's there in the ordinary things. You may not think it's important to him, but it is. And he's right there. He knows your need. But finally, maybe he's telling you now that you need to lay something there. Do you truly love him enough to lay something down? Maybe in this quietness, he's just speaking to you now and saying, you know, you need to lay down your finances. You need to lay down your time. You need to lay down this thing that's drawing you away from me. And once you lay it down and show me that you truly love me, then I'll do amazing things. Just watch me use you in this amazing church, in this amazing city. Just watch what I will do with you once you truly love me. And you know, as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, it's a good time just for us to reflect. We're just going to pray. Before we pray, it'd be just really good, with eyes closed and heads bowed, if there's anybody here who resonates with any of that, that you just sense Jesus speaking to you this morning, any of that, just raise your hand and put it down. Don't get close to the person next to you. Don't make a noise. Just pop your hand up and put it down again, just as almost a public recognition to Jesus that this is me. Just put it up and straight down. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we're just going to pray. Father, we just thank you that you are God who cares. We thank you that you are right there in the midst of our difficulties and our challenges. You are right there on the shore. Father, help us to see you there, to recognize you, in the midst of in the middle of that refugee camp, in the middle of what's going on in our lives. Help us to know that you are there, that you care about every step that we are taking, everything that's troubling us. You know our need. even in the ordinary. Father, I pray that you will cook breakfast for anyone that needs breakfast this morning. And I pray, Lord, for anyone who needs to lay something down to show you that they truly, truly love you, that they will be doing that today. And that you would just meet with them right at the point of their very need. In Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to sing our final song. I will sing the wondrous story. We've all got a story to tell, I'm sure. I will sing